coming up on the Healthy Birthing Journey podcast.
There's a lot of information and research has been done on the medical needs of women, access to care, making sure that women have medical issues addressed. But often, I think we forget about the social needs of people.
Dr. Zenobia Harris at the Arkansas Birthing Project shares how their sister friends and other community members can help improve maternal and infant health in our state. Then, Nicole Fletcher discusses the impact doulas can have on the birthing journey.
Some of the benefits that we've seen is like fewer cesarean rates, you know, shorter labor times, women feeling more satisfied with their birth experience with less medical intervention.
And Casey Cochran with the Arkansas Department of Health talks about the growing role of county health units in improving maternal health in our state.
We continue the efforts. We build the momentum. We can't let up. Arkansas moms are depending on us.
Welcome to the Healthy Birthing Journey podcast, a series where we explore the data and issues behind maternal and infant health in Arkansas. I'm your host, Sandra McGrew, Executive Director at the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement, also known as ACHI. We are an independent health policy center focused on evidence-based research, analysis, and collaborative efforts to improve the health of all Arkansans. We pulled our analysts and researchers together to envision what a healthy birthing journey should look like and identify points along the way where our state has opportunities to make lasting improvements for our moms, children, families, and communities. We identified 9 phases along the birthing journey from pre-pregnancy through delivery and into the postpartum period. In this episode, we explore the third phase, the roles education and social support during pregnancy play in supporting new mothers as they navigate pregnancy, childbirth, and the postpartum period. That support can take on a lot of different forms. To learn about one grassroots community effort to support pregnant women in Arkansas and the impact that addressing someone's social needs can have on the life of a woman and her child, ACHI's Joshua Cook visited the Arkansas Birthing Project in Little Rock.
Hi there, I'm Joshua. I'm here to see Zenobia Harris with the Birthing Project. Yes.
Dr. Zenobia Harris is the Executive Director for Birthing Project USA and leads the program in Arkansas. They spoke at the Watershed Human and Community Development Agency in Little Rock, where the Arkansas Birthing Project is based.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, Dr. Harris.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
To begin, just give us an idea, you know, what is the Arkansas Birthing Project and what kind of work do you do here?
The Arkansas Birthing Project is a branch of Birthing Project USA, which is an international organization, actually. We train local community volunteers to provide support to women during pregnancy and for the first year of life of their babies. The Arkansas Birthing Project is unique in that we have several local projects in Arkansas. Most states have one or maybe two. For example, California has 2 birthing projects, but we actually have 10 in operation in Arkansas. Most of them are in the Arkansas Delta area. Our largest project is here in Little Rock, and we serve as the hub here for all the birthing projects in Arkansas.
What kind of services and support do you offer? I mean, how does the operation work as far as organizing people and supporting moms?
We offer social supports and physical supports to women during pregnancy. There's a lot of discussion about what's needed for women during pregnancy to improve pregnancy outcomes. You know, there's a lot of information and research has been done on the medical needs of women, access to care, making sure that women have medical issues addressed. But often, I think we forget about the social needs of people, the social determinants of health, and how important they are, that women are in a situation where when they're pregnant, in their postpartum period, in early parenting, that they have just real basic needs met, such as food to eat, shelter, transportation, assistance with childcare, sometimes mental health support, sometimes just somebody to listen to them and help them think through situations. So we work with volunteers to help them become familiar with resources in our community, and then we try to connect women with resources and encourage people to use the resources in their local communities to get the things that they need to hopefully have a healthy pregnancy outcome.
You say we work with a number of volunteers. Where do those volunteers come from?
from a variety of stripes, a woman at the grocery store that we approach, friends that we know, sororities, church women's groups. Women come from all walks of life to volunteer. You don't necessarily have to have a PhD or a bachelor's degree or an associate's degree to be a sister friend. You just need to have a heart to serve and a willingness to provide support to a woman several times a month for an 18-month period.
And you say sister friend. I mean, I think it's one of the interesting things about the Birthing Project that stands out is we're looking at communities and families, but not everyone still has that traditional support network.
Absolutely. I think particularly as people have become more, quote unquote, modernized or, become more urban, a lot of young people don't have the kind of connections you and I and others have had when we were younger, where we had our grandparents and other people in our communities, families available to provide support to people who are raising children. And so what we see is a huge need for women to have that kind of support. It's sort of, we call sister friending a cultural connection actually with people that helps to kind of recreate those connections we've had long ago where people were caring for each other, supportive of each other. And we've lost that kind of connection in many of our communities. And I think our children and our young people are suffering as a result of that. And so we see that thing acted out in women who are giving birth, sometimes in situations where they don't have a partner to support them, or they have inadequate resources to take care of themselves and their children to have just basic healthy outcomes. And so we feel like we just fill in those gaps that often medical programs don't touch. They can't touch because they're oriented differently. But I think it's important as we're relooking at how we're doing things, how we're providing support and services, that we recognize all aspects of support that people need and so that we can come together as a society and provide those kinds of supports. I think it's important from not only just a Christian basis, but just a human basis to recognize the basic humanity of people and to address those needs in a very humane way.
Is there an experience or an engagement that stands out over the years where things just kind of connected and you saw the real impact that this work can have in somebody's life?
Well, I think all of the volunteers that have been with us have, you know, have a lot of different stories about their experiences that they could share. In particular, my first little sister, I encountered her 26 years ago, and we're still friends. And her child, the baby that was born to her then, now has a child. And we still know each other, and we still interact with each other. A lot of times when we form these friendships, these relationships, they continue on. And I think it gives additional strength to people to be exposed to individuals that have experience dealing with life issues, experience with accessing services and needs in the community. They're just somebody just to talk to sometimes. So we've had sister friends that sometimes their little sisters just want to talk to them about stuff, things that are happening, relationships, their children's growth and development. Should they try for another job? How should they finance this, that, and the other? I mean, it's just real basic things that many of us take for granted because we've always had those supports.
Have you seen the needs of mothers and expecting mothers in the state? The women coming to you, have you seen those needs change or evolve over the 27 years that the Birthing Project's been doing this work in Arkansas?
Well, I think now we're beginning to see more of a recognition of the mental health needs that exist and the scarcity of the availability of it, those services to women for various and sundry reasons. So I think there's a huge need because we better understand it. And because we've had a stigmatization of mental health issues in our communities where individuals haven't sought that kind of service and support out. And we're beginning to recognize it more so in the Birthing Project. We actually are encouraging our sister friend volunteers to get mental health first aid certification so that they can better respond to, you know, issues when they come up. They better understand why people are behaving the way they behave and have different strategies that they can approach and use to hopefully help that individual address it in a more successful way. We're seeing more people that need food. Housing is a big issue. And that has, since COVID especially, we've seen an uptick in the need for people to have better access to housing support.
There's so much attention on this issue in the state right now. What has been the most encouraging to you? And what do you see as the biggest opportunity for the state to focus on next?
Well, I think we've been fortunate that our governor has convened a blue ribbon group, if you will, of individuals who are involved in this space to pull together and to look at the resources we've got available and to talk about how we can allocate them more thoroughly among women who need those kinds of supports in our state. With the Healthy Mothers, Healthy Babies bill, I think was really, really important for us because it really, I think, drummed up a lot more attention to the maternal health needs in our state. And a lot of work is still going on behind the scenes to make adjustments to the way we've been doing things, the way we've been providing supports, so that hopefully we can better serve people in our communities. I think it's amazing that we now have the opportunity to have more doula support in our state, and there's a lot of attention on doulas and community health workers and their importance. 40 years ago, women in the birthing project were going into the birth suites with their little sisters and making sure that they had somebody there to help speak on their behalf when they were in labor. And that need has not changed. We have an opportunity here in Arkansas to have a full cadre of support services for women, all women. It doesn't matter what walk of life a woman is from, to be able to hopefully birth in a way that's safe and healthy for her and her baby. And also, after a woman has a baby and she's in that early parenting period, where we can hopefully create some supports that will set the stage for that child to be successful. Success for our state, I think, looks like utilizing all the resources we've got available to us and making sure we set up systems that will exist even when all this funding that's coming in from left and right, from the federal level, from the state level, when all that is gone. If we haven't successfully educated people in local communities to take on some responsibility for some of the things that need to happen in their communities, and left behind some skill sets that people can use to continue to build on in their communities, then I think we are going to be at a loss. And we'll be right back where we started when all the money goes away.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
In addition to her work with the Arkansas Birthing Project, Dr. Harris is the health policy chair for the Little Rock Black Nurses Association. She earned her nursing degree at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences College of Nursing and holds a Master of Public Health from the University of Alabama at Birmingham. She earned her Doctor of Nursing Practice degree from the University of Tennessee Health Sciences Center. One of the recent efforts to improve maternal health in our state that Dr. Harris mentioned was the establishment of a certification process and reimbursement for doula services in Arkansas. Coming up next, we'll speak with one of the doulas that helped lead that effort and learn more about the impact doulas can have on the lives of moms in Arkansas. Just a few years back, only a handful of states offered Medicaid reimbursement for doula services. That's important because without reimbursement, fewer people have access to the support doulas offer. Fast forward to today, and Arkansas has now joined at least 25 other states in providing a certification process and Medicaid reimbursement for doula services. To learn more about what all that means for Arkansas mothers, I sat down with Nicole Fletcher of Nurturing Arrows Birth Services. She also co-founded the Ujima Maternity Network and is the president and co-founder of the Doula Alliance of Arkansas. Thank you so much for joining us, Ms. Fletcher. It's so great to see you. When the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement envisioned the healthy birthing journey a few years ago, at that time, only 8 states provided coverage and reimbursement for doula services. Fast forward to today, and that number has grown to at least 25 states, and that now includes our state here in Arkansas. For those who may be unfamiliar, let's just start by telling the audience, what is a doula?
I love that. So a doula is a trained professional who provides continuous emotional, physical, informational support and advocacy to a woman before, during, and after childbirth. So unlike doctors or midwives, doulas do not perform clinical tasks or make medical decisions. Instead, their role is to walk alongside families to help them understand their options and you know, communicate effectively with their care team, which includes maybe their obstetrician or their midwife, and including the family on that birth journey. So this support can look like many things. It can be just for prenatal care. It could be just for the labor and delivery. It could also be just for the postpartum. But again, the key factor is that there's four pillars, which is emotional, informational, physical, and advocacy. Those are the four pillars that we really kind of hang our hats on when it comes to doula work. And we provide that during pregnancy, labor, delivery, and postpartum. And some of the benefits that we've seen is like fewer cesarean rates, you know, shorter labor times, mm-hmm. women feeling more satisfied with their birth experience, with less medical intervention, as well as just an overall like confidence and reassurance that they are safe and that they're doing the right thing.
So talk to us a little bit about the differences. How are doulas different or similar to lay midwives, certified nurse midwives? Tell us about those differences, because this has been a huge part of the conversation as well for those like support systems folks.
For sure. So we have to be super duper clear when we're talking about what the different roles are. And for years, many felt or have thought that the doula role and the midwifery role could be interchangeable, but it's not interchangeable. So doulas and midwives both play an important role when it comes to supporting families during pregnancy and birth, and they both adhere to like a patient-centered model of care, mm-hmm. typically known as the midwifery model of care. Their training and scope of practice, responsibilities as well, are very different. So midwives, whether they're certified nurse midwives or licensed midwives, are clinical providers. They are trained to deliver babies, monitor medical well-being of both mother and baby, to perform clinical tasks and assessments, order tests, manage complications within their scope. Certified nurse midwives, for example, are advanced practice nurses who provide prenatal care, attend births, prescribe medications, and offer postpartum and reproductive health care. Their role is centered on medical management of pregnancy and birth. Doulas, on the other hand, are non-medical support professionals. They do not provide medical care. They do not perform physical exams or deliver babies. Instead, their focus is on continuous support, again, physically, emotionally, informationally, throughout the pregnancy, labor, and postpartum period. A doula may help a mother understand her options, encourage comfort measures during labor, support her partner, and help families navigate this birth experience with confidence and really navigate oftentimes the hospital terrain that is often unfamiliar to most families. So while doulas and midwives share a similar philosophy around birth, their roles and activities within it are very different. There's a lot of time that doulas spend with their clients prior to them reaching the labor and delivery room. And I think that is something that isn't typically known, the amount of time that's spent prenatally. I mean, it's hours upon hours, and there's access through phone conversations, and we're digging deep into like their diets and what they're eating and what they're not eating, what's their environment like, in order to make sure that they're well, like that the woman as a whole is well.
Talk to us about how the recent legislation in our state to establish Medicaid reimbursement for doulas and a path to certification, how has that impacted your work? Like, you have been part of when all of this has happened. So talk to us about what that was like, being part of that journey of its own there, and then also the impact that that's had on your current work.
So it was a huge learning curve. I would say I learned so much about legislation and the process and the processes, you know, that go along with it, and the different players that are involved, because it's been very complicated, mm-hmm. at least for me, like as a lay person that really doesn't do this type of work on a regular basis. You know, it's very interesting because when I first started this doula work, I was like, I just want to be a part of birthing, you know, let that legislation and all of that type of stuff like do its own thing. But the reality is everything is policy and everything is sure. legislation. And so for me, it's been a huge impact. And so in 2025, Arkansas passed the House Bill 1252, which is now the Act 965, which establishes certified community-based doulas, you know, and basically like brings doulas to the forefront of the conversation, where there's been so much conversation around doulas. This is the opportunity to say, actually, we're doulas and we're here. So the work, I feel like it's been an honor to just be recognized, you know, just to be seen as actually you are a good part of, you know, a woman's maternal health care system. And the statistics show that it's very impactful to have this type of support and community around a woman. So again, not to blur the lines or replace any other provider, it's really additional or adding to.
I know that navigating the healthcare finance system is incredibly complex. And you touched on the importance of the role that doulas can play. You know, obviously, we're a very rural state, but there have also been challenges in reaching historically underserved communities and population. Can you highlight a little bit about how doulas can help bridge those gaps?
Yeah, I think doulas bridge those gaps, one, through like culturally competent care. That's one of the big, big overarching things is like, I can relate to you. I see myself in you. You see yourself in me. So that kind of breaks a little bit of the barrier initially. It's like when you can see yourself in someone else. And I talk about this all the time, the humanity of it all, right? When we can get back to the bare bones basics of humanity and that's the thing that matters the most. There's relatability. There's comfort. There's trust. We let our hair down. We really engage when we can just go, I see myself here and there's a place for me. Historically, there hasn't been a place for marginalized communities, underrepresented communities. There has not been a place for them. So, you know, with a lot of the efforts that we're working with Ujima, we're bringing in other doulas that look like the communities that they're wanting to serve and live in those rural areas. That's the game changer. You know, it's very different when you see yourself. I've said this before. When you see yourself in someone else, it changes the way you move. It changes the way you navigate. And when we think about the advocacy piece of like what doulas are actually providing, oftentimes there's a misunderstanding of what's actually happening. And I feel like the doula kind of dances between both worlds. And she, again, doesn't provide medical information, but she is aware of it. And so she can help communicate that or even ask maybe the nurse or the doctor to represent that information in a way that is more conducive for their client or for the patient to understand and really have like autonomy and choose what is best for them, or even collaborative care where they're able to work with their provider and find the best solutions for them.
How did you end up in this space?
Oh, wow. So I have three children and I'm from California. So I have a child in every state that I'm connected to. So I'm from California. My oldest was born in California. My family is from Arkansas. And so I had one of my children in Arkansas at UAMS, and actually 25 years ago. And then my youngest was born in Kentucky, which where my husband's family was. And so I had beautiful birth experiences myself. Like absolutely beautiful birth experiences. I had all unmedicated labors in the hospital, but I did not know that I could have a doula. I did not know that I could potentially have a home birth. I didn't know what my options were. But like, let's fast forward. Like we moved to Arkansas and I meet some women that were having home births. And I was like, you can have a baby at home? I don't understand. And she was like, yes, you can. And so then the opportunity for options just opened up to me. And that at the end of the day was really like how I got here. I had great birth experiences. So I'm not trying to work out some sort of birth trauma in myself, but I think there is a lot of fear surrounding birth. And a lot of families don't know how to navigate that. They don't know how to talk through birth experiences. And I just want to twofold. On one end, I want to empower women to step into this profession and really make a difference, right? Like make a difference with their life and impact not only this generation, but future generations to come. So that's on the training side of like adding more doulas to the profession. But on the other side, it's that moment when you meet with a mom and she didn't think she can do it. And then she does it. Whatever it is, whether it's a medicated, unmedicated, cesarean delivery, whatever it is, she sees that she can do it. She's empowered and she's surprised and amazed at herself. At the end of the day, that's why I'm still here and why I will continue to be here, because of the lives that are impacted. And I can't tell you how many times I've tried to quit. like in a million different ways. Yeah. But it is my destiny. It's my purpose. And I'm called to this.
Yeah.
And you'll find that many women that step into this particular line of work feel a deep sense of calling. Mm. And it's true, because it being cute to like help a woman when you get a call at 3 a.m.
Sure.
and you need to drive an hour to get to her, that you need some deep destiny. You need some purpose, you know, behind that, because it just doesn't work without that.
It's so interesting. I mean, I know at the beginning of the, you know, we were talking about it, to explain to us what a doula is. It's really interesting because it's become such a part of the conversation now whenever we're talking about maternal and infant health. And I mean, if you would have asked me 5 years ago to explain what a doula is, and I mean, I would not have been able to even know where to begin.
For sure.
Can you talk about, have you seen this shift in a perception or conversations with physicians and other healthcare professionals around the state? Have you seen a shift when it comes to talking about the role of doulas there?
I think I have. It's actually been a beautiful shift to kind of see. And I think it comes from a heart of humanity mattering, right? Humanity being of the forefront. And in a state with all of the resources and all of the skill sets that we have, I think the larger community, the medical community, you know, they're kind of like, I don't want to be on the bottom. What do we need to do? Because what we've been doing, the way we've been doing it, hasn't worked fully. So there's an openness to change, new innovation, and even collaboration. So collaborating in collaborative care, I think the biggest key is that everybody understands their role. And when everybody understands their role and works within their scope of practice, that is when we see the most success and the most openness, right? And there has been like a history of maybe obstetricians feeling like doulas are coming in and they're telling their patients something different or contrary to what the obstetrician, you know, may have said. And the reality of that is a good doula is not going to do that. Mm. We're going to empower and teach and help the client to then speak to their provider and get them on the same page, really. And so I feel like there has been a shift in that. And it's been a beautiful shift. I've been a doula for 17 years. And in the beginning, it was very hard. It was kind of like eyes looking at you, you know, like, what are you doing? What are you saying? And I often coach and do like have conversations with my client while the obstetrician is in the room or the nurse is in the room, so that we all are on the same page. At the end of the day, the success that the doula has is contributed to the obstetrician, right, is contributed to the nurse, is contributed to the patient. So all together, we win when we do work together. And I've seen a shift in that. And I think there's more understanding and willing to collaborate because of that.
So what comes next? Where are you focused? Where do communities around the state need to focus now to keep up the momentum toward improving maternal health?
Such a great question. What's next? You know, we're still in the process of getting this act in action, right? And training and preparing the doulas to go through the process of accepting pregnancy Medicaid and figuring out all of that and kind of navigating a new terrain for the majority of doulas. So the Doula Alliance of Arkansas is really working hard to make sure that we have pieces in play for the doulas to then be able to bill and figure out how to do reimbursement steps. So that's really kind of the next thing, is actually making this act actionable. So I think that's what's next, is really kind of figuring out how do we support the doulas to experience billing and a whole umbrella underneath their practice that they've not been familiar with.
How many doulas do we have right now? Do we have enough to meet the need of Arkansans?
Well, I would say we have quite a few doulas. And through our partnership with UAMS and Ujima Maternity Network, we've been training doulas. Last year, we trained 77, and 44 of them completed and became certified doulas. This year, we're training 25 right now. And I'm going to say we have a good amount of doulas. Do we have enough to meet the need? If every woman who deserves a doula, which is every woman, right, utilizes a doula, the answer is we do not have enough, right? But the ones that we have, I do think we have some work to do in making sure that they have work sustainable and a living wage. Because what we've seen happen with many doulas is they get trained, they get certified, and then the number of clients isn't as much to sustain a living wage. So then they have to take a 9-to-5 job, which then pulls them out of being able to be on call for the clients. You know, if you're 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're still at work, this woman calls and she needs support. Well, what do we do there? So I think this Medicaid reimbursement should be helpful for that. I'm hoping like the next steps looks like there's almost an explosion in utilizing doulas. So there's an explosion in the conversation. Is there the same explosion in utilizing it and those doulas having a living wage? That's not quite happened yet. So when we think about what's next and is there enough, I think that's what's next. Let's make sure now that these doulas have a living wage and can really truly be there for the community at large.
Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us today. It was great to see you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
In just a moment, we'll learn about efforts by the Arkansas Department of Health to support mothers no matter where they live in the state. In this episode, we've learned about grassroots community efforts to support Arkansas mothers, and we heard how doulas have established their seat at the table when it comes to improving maternal health outcomes in our state. There are also other resources available that reach every county in Arkansas. To learn more about those and what's coming next in efforts to provide necessary support and education for Arkansas moms and their babies, I'm joined by Casey Cochran, Deputy Director for Public Health Programs with the Arkansas Department of Health. Mrs. Cochran, thank you so much for joining us today. When we think about supporting pregnant women and preparing them for a healthy birth and care for a newborn, the default, I think for most people, is probably thinking about the local hospital or the doctor's office. Sometimes, of course, we also think about those social support networks like family members, local church family. Another key player along the birthing journey in Arkansas, however, local health units. Could you tell me more about what they are, the role that they play in supporting maternal health in our communities?
Absolutely. I would love to. So local health units in Arkansas, we're very fortunate in this state that we have 75 counties and 92 local health units, meaning there's at least one in each county in Arkansas, sometimes more than one, depending on a variety of reasons, but population, resources, all plays into that. So thinking about maternal health and the local health units offer a variety of services, women's health services, immunizations, WIC, is all provided at your local health unit in every county. You can also get vital records there. If you need a birth certificate, you can just pop right in and fill out an application and get your certified birth certificate at a local health unit. The services that we provide primarily related to maternal health starts with a pregnancy test. So we have a lot of women in the state come in and they get a pregnancy test. And through all of the maternal health efforts that's happening right now in our state, the executive order, the legislation, I believe you were a part of the initial stakeholder meeting that had so many partners come out. over 120 actually, to say this is important to us and we want to partner with you and bring Arkansas to the front of maternal health for women and babies in our state. So circling back to that pregnancy test, when a woman gets a positive pregnancy test, their journey of care really starts right there. So we do provide confirmation of the positive pregnancy test, which is needed for applying to Medicaid. We also start them on a prenatal care visit and a WIC visit if they qualify. So mom just found out, okay, I'm going to have a baby. What do I do next? So we really work hard to try to lay that path out before them so they can understand we're here. We're available. These are your next steps. They don't leave empty-handed wondering, okay, what do I do now? You know, because we have to remember, while sometimes pregnancy is happiness, it's not always happiness for everyone. And sometimes it's a very confusing or concerning state versus happiness. So we really want to assess those situations and provide resources and next steps for those women. And those appointments are made after the pregnancy test. If, you know, the mom says, I don't know what to do, well, let us get you connected.
Okay.
And in some of our local health units now, we have community health workers. So we just wrap them into the care team in the unit. And they'll assess for additional needed resources, like maybe food resources, transportation, housing, assisting with that Medicaid application. And we do have presumptive eligibility now, so it makes it a little easier on the front end, but there's still the application process and documents to collect. So we're very fortunate in that area, and we have those placed in 11 health units currently, with 19 more posted on the board. So they'll cover over 20 counties.
Wow. And those are community health workers.
Community health workers. So that is expanding, and that model seems to be working very well. We already have a number of success stories related to just the conversation with that community health worker on that initial visit. So lots of good things and good connections to resources are happening, and it's local.
Yeah.
You know, we try to connect them to their local resources where they can find assistance. If the pregnancy test is negative, then we offer education, STI testing and treatment if needed, and then we start that contraceptive conversation or their plans for the next 12 months.
I want to hear a little bit about some of the success stories here in just a moment, but when you talked about local health units being a connector, that is one of the first things that came to mind as you were talking about it. Can you expand a little bit more on how you do connect these women to services in these rural areas?
Yes. Some of our counties are resource rich, is what I would call it. Some of our counties have resources, but maybe they're not as visible or easy to connect. So it's real important that we know as the local health unit employees what resources we have in that community. As I said earlier, you know, we have 11 community health workers right now. If you think about 92 local health units, there's still a gap in the middle. So our local health unit administrators, our public health nurses, and our clerical staff really need to be aware of the resources available. Annually, we do an assessment of providers in the counties. So we know, for example, if we need to provide maternity services, you'll find online at our website the map of the local health units where maternity services are offered. And it's in over 65 units right now. The reason for that is when we have a discussion with providers locally or we assess the landscape of that county, if there's providers available that are willing to take no-source patients, then we can do the pregnancy test and we do a warm handoff to a provider of the patient's choice. That's our service. If there's not adequate providers or it's a long way, transportation is an issue, anything like that, we can start the prenatal care in the local health unit. And that's one way that we assess. We're not there to compete. We're truly a safety net provider, and we want to fill a gap. Not compete, but fill a gap. So if a community has providers, our goal is to transfer those patients out to a provider locally if it's available. If not, then we will complete prenatal care all the way through postpartum visits if needed, if the resource is not there and we're the best choice for that patient. We have APRNs that come in and provide those services on a rotational basis in some of our smaller units, mm-hmm. and then consistent APRN services in some of our larger units. So the access for rural and urban is there around the state depending on the need.
We were talking earlier, you'd mentioned, you know, the conversations that were happening that came out of the governor's strategic committee for maternal health and all the conversations that we were having. And I remember you leading a lot of these conversations really about how we were going to get the word out about everything that we were going to be doing in our state to help educate women about where these resources are. And I know one of the things we talked about was like a one-stop shop for resources and information. Talk to us a little bit about those sort of communication efforts and what those conversations were like and where we are right now.
So right now, we've really been working on resource identification, connection. We utilize Find Help and try to encourage those community local resources to go in, build a profile, keep it updated so we know resources locally. We also have some faith-based communities that are willing to assist. So that's more of a local resource that we can connect to that works well with our local health units. As far as getting the word out, there's a variety of ways we do that. We, you know, of course, are involved in several different groups. I'm sure a lot of people are tracking all the maternal health efforts going on in our state. We partner with UAMS on several grants and opportunities for training and connection to their high-risk OB clinic. So lots of opportunities there. Community health workers was literally a grant application through the UAMS Northwest Institute of Community Health Innovation, led by Dr. Pearl McKelfish, mm-hmm. and working with her to identify a need and finding a solution to start to solve the need. Now that has transitioned to the Arkansas Center for Women and Infants out of Dr. Nirvana Manning's mm-hmm. area of UAMS. So we continue the efforts. We build the momentum. We can't let up. Arkansas moms are depending on us, is what I'm saying now. We're almost 2 years in from that stakeholder meeting that initially happened, and the growth from there is really unbelievable. Grassroots efforts have come together. There's local educational groups for moms and babies. There's programs that are focusing on zip codes with the highest mortality rates and trying to make a difference. I just recently presented to a group in the Little Rock area of 16 moms, and it started at zero, but through the zip code mm-hmm. and through the education outreach, we've been able to invite and provide resources for 16 women. They meet twice a week. It's like a support group for moms and babies, and the education they receive, the feedback we receive from that is, we didn't know, or this is amazing. You know, thank you for coming and sharing. So, and that's happening all over our state. It's not just in Little Rock, it's everywhere. We're getting ready to launch a media campaign around maternal health and the efforts that we're doing, where to go, that one-door access concept, mm-hmm. and then connection to resources, as well as an app. So we have a Pregnancy Plus app, and we just hit our one-year mark in February and far exceeded our goal of a number of people.
I'm not surprised.
People.
Yeah.
So sometimes I feel like I'm a walking billboard. but that's okay.
You do such a great job. And well, you did such a great job leading these meetings on early on with all of these stakeholders in the room trying to achieve the same goal.
Yes. And just to have Arkansas come together in just such a determined focal point. There was a lot of energy in that room, and it was very exciting. I hope it ignited a fire in a lot of people. You know, it did us, and it's kind of a, I think we're the best kept secret, you know, local services and access. So very encouraging to see that. Yesterday, I was giving a presentation, and I did an analogy of a tree. All of these roots, we all have great foundations. There's so many partners that do such good work across the state. But when you come together and then the tree forms, it's like, it's beautiful.
And you learn so much about what other people are doing, and you realize that there's so much overlap there, you know, and there really are so many ways to work together. And that is what has been happening.
So many ways. And the app, the Pregnancy Plus app, you can go to your Play Store, download it. It's free. We have private philanthropy dollars that's supporting that in our state. And it's built out to an Arkansas-based platform for moms.
Okay.
So the resource links that are there are Arkansas-based resources. We just, this morning, I looked at the next level of resources that will be offered. And, you know, it's all of the things.
Give us just like a high level of like what women can find on this app.
Sure. You can find resources for food, diapers, WIC. How do I enroll in WIC? And what do I do as a new mom? Your baby's crying. You don't know what to do, or maybe why they're crying. Lots of resources right at your fingertips that you can click on. Just gave birth and I'm having these symptoms or these issues. You can look on there, hear her campaign. That information is on there. We also have some really fantastic efforts going on from the Arkansas Center for Women and Infants that we're partnering with. The I Gave Birth bracelet, the postpartum call center that they're manning is just,
it's phenomenal. Incredible. It is.
Yes, truly phenomenal. And those moms are getting connected. Another area that we don't talk a lot about is home visiting. Some moms really need that extra support in home visiting options. And the connection to that can happen through the postpartum call center or your WIC. If you get WIC, then we can educate and provide those options as well.
And just very quickly, for some listeners who may not know, talk about what WIC stands for and just a brief overview of what it is.
Sure. It's Women's Infant and Children's Program, and it's meant to be a supplemental nutritional program for mom and baby. You receive a food package, a debit card. You get a list of items that are loaded on your card per month that you can redeem at WIC vendors, local grocery stores in your own area. So WIC is just a huge support to Arkansas moms and babies.
The Arkansas Department of Health has been obviously so engaged and at the forefront of a lot of the maternal health efforts in the state. As we focus particularly on this phase of the birthing journey, education and support for expecting moms, what changes or improvements would you like to see over the next 5 to 10 years? I know we've already come a long way, but we do still have a long way to go. And if you're looking in your crystal ball, what improvements would you like to see?
I would really like to be able to expand community health workers to all 92 local health unit locations. I feel like they serve such a valuable purpose for the population that we serve. And the connection of resources. We have a good foundational base of resources in Arkansas, but getting the word out and how to connect to those resources. Things are happening in Arkansas. Birthing facilities are closing, so we're going to have to get really creative about how we handle this. So I think that initial stakeholder group coming together, we're able to quickly pivot more often today than we used to be because we know who has resources, who we can partner with, what we need to do. I think there's a better communication network that has grown from this to really identify, hey, I see a need over here or here's a gap. Now, how do we fill it? And we have a group of very like-minded thinkers that look for solutions. And we try really hard to find a way to close the gap for Arkansas moms.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy Birthing Journey podcast. In our next episode, we'll move on to the fourth phase along the birthing journey, the birth of a child. We'll discuss the safest method of delivery with Dr. Mary Pat Hardman from Washington Regional Medical Center in Fayetteville and explore some of the factors that influence that decision. Arkansas State Representative Lee Johnson will tell us about the creation of the Maternal Outcomes Management System, or MOMS, and how Arkansas lawmakers are coming together to improve maternal and infant health in the state. And then we'll dive into the data with a team of ACHI analysts to better understand how the closure of labor and delivery units around the state are impacting access for Arkansas moms. This program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Institute for Healthcare Management Foundation. The Healthy Birthing Journey podcast is produced by Joshua Cook at the Arkansas Center for Health Improvement. You can find more episodes, our infographic outlining the 9 points on a healthy birthing journey, and more analyses of maternal and infant health data in Arkansas on our website, ACHI.net. Thank you for listening.